Good morning, Westeros!
And welcome to our Morning Throners podcast.
I'm Nelson.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Kyle. And we're the fucking Morning Throners.
And welcome back to another episode of your favorite Song of Ice and Fire podcast. We are your Morning Throners, and we got Tyrion 3 on deck. What's up, gentlemen?
Yo, yo!
Tyrion again. He's got some good stuff going on, but I do miss the action. I'll throw that out there.
These are the chapters we live for, boys. These are the chapters we live for.
I'm not going to go that far.
Long. How many pages was it in the normal book? Because I read it on my iPad.
It was 18 pages.
18 pages, all at one table. Tyrion and Tywin just hashing it out. Nothing better than that.
I do agree that it was cool. It's a cool chapter. Like, the politics of it all is a cool side to see. Like, they're kind of playing the game that's not the physical game right now.
And this isn't their fault, I guess, but I think my problem is that I hate the game, right? Like, the way that he's, like, selling his daughters
selling
off.
Kids around.
Like, and, like, just the way everything is played, like, it sucks so much to me. Like, yeah. And, like, this still happens, right? Like, there's definitely still back alley stuff going on, and it's just so fucked, right? Like, this is like, you just play with people's lives, and
I don't know. Like, don't arranged marriages have a better, like, success rate than unarranged marriages?
I don't know,
but again,
that might be
biased because, like, in places where there's arranged marriages, you're
of
just not allowed.
You stay together.
You're just not allowed.
Yeah, there's no other option. Yeah, you are forced to marry anyway. Yeah.
I think there is some stuff to that, though. Like, some weird science.
Yeah,
to some of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will say, though, I think a part of the reason, so I guess the quick summary is, it's just a council chamber. I kind of said it without saying it. It's all just one big council chamber. I feel like this is kind of finalizing the recap, right? We're 20 chapters in, right? We've had a lot of, at least every character's had like one or two chapters now. And some of that has been like, okay, recap. I feel like this chapter is kind of like the culmination. They cover literally everything from the wall to Dorne, where everything's at currently, right? They cover it all in this one chapter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we learn a lot too, right? Yeah. And that was kind of going to be my point there, is that, like, I do feel like that's partly his writing style, as well as, like, recap with new material from a different person.
Yeah.
Is kind of how these books seem to be pieced together, to me, at least. Like I said, that's...
Yeah, I think it's interesting the way he does recap, because, like you're saying, he'll do recap basically where you learn about something that we already know, but we'll learn about it from perspective of somebody who didn't know. Or we'll learn about information that we know is just wrong. Like, people are learning that Bran's dead. Well, Bran's not dead. We know Bran's alive, right? So, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, or the three-headed dragon that was born and stuff like,
Yeah.
That's from this chapter.
We haven't seen my girl Dany in a while, speaking of her. Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to say is, I think part of the reason why this is all just, like, kind of like you're saying, it's them just playing the game. And we don't get this too much, but, like, when you read chapters on the heels of each other, sometimes you're like, wow, this is really stupid. Or, like, why do they care about this? And when we had the last chapter with Sam, literally, we have an undead army coming to kill everybody. And now we got these guys playing these stupid games of, like, oh, yeah, let's let Mance Rayder take over the North.
The juxtaposition, like, of, like, the reality of, like, hey, man, doom and death is right here at your door. And you guys are worried about
it. Greyjoys will take care of that.
If every single person in this room had been where Sam was, this conversation, they don't care about anything. They don't care about the Tyrells or Sansa. They don't care about nothing except for, what the fuck do we do about these guys way up north?
Yeah.
So I think George puts these chapters next to each other on purpose. Like, hey, we got this actual really big problem. And not that these things aren't problems, but...
Yeah, I don't know if many people are thinking about that, but...
I don't know. I think there's a little bit of
You're rereading it like that's this, a good point. That's a pretty deep connection. I don't know how many readers are just like, holy shit, Sam is literally fighting an undead army and they're talking about marrying 13-year-olds. But it is a really good point. But all right, let's jump in. All right.
Hang on. One last thing in terms of my thoughts in this chapter. And I think maybe part of the reason I don't love it as much as it sounds like you guys do is because it makes me feel stupid, right? Like, there's definitely a lot of stuff happening here that I don't understand.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, there's so many names that, like, it can just confuse you just from there.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, he's like, Tyrion knows something's up, and it's like, what? And, just stuff like that. And, like,
well, yeah. I mean, you're not
I guess real quick, kind of on the names, and we'll get into it in a second, but the first thing we'll go over is the people in the council. But three of these people we've heard of decent amounts of, but never really, like, seen them interact in any real capacity, right? And I'm talking about the Reach Lords, Paxter Redwine, Mace Tyrell, and Mathys Rowan. We've seen maybe Mathys Rowan in a tent at Renly's camp, right? Maybe Paxter Red. I don't think Paxter Redwine actually joined Renly because Cersei held his kids. So I don't think he ever actually chose a side. Mathys Rowan was on Renly's side, then switched before the Stannis battle. So again, we've heard and maybe seen some of these guys a little bit, but here we're actually kind of getting to see like what their motives are and what they care about. The first time we're really seeing them do anything, be involved in a conversation. So besides those three, who else we got in this council? Kind of the usual suspects.
Littlefinger, Varys, Pycelle, the Septon,
Cersei,
Tyrion.
Yep.
Tywin. Daddy Tywin.
And Cersei brought plus one.
Oh, I don't even know if I've...
Tyrion said, I'm not allowed... Pycelle's not allowed back on the council. And here he is back on the council.
Right. Well, I said Pycelle.
Oh, you said, sorry.
So, isn't he back to being the Grand Maester, though?
Yeah, so he had originally said that to Lancel, I think. Basically, like, yeah, you can have him out of the dungeons, but he's not allowed on the council. And I think in the last Tyrion chapter, where he's talking to Varys, basically... It was mostly a Shay chat, like Tyrion and Shay thing. Mm-hmm. But there was a little bit of Varys in there where he's basically like, oh, yeah, the Conclave and the Citadel basically said that we're the only ones that can make or unmake a Grand Maester. Yeah. And they're like, well, I'm pretty sure we've killed a few before. Should I have done that?
Yeah, he's like, how about I unmake him with a sword? Yeah, exactly. He said something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, he is back. So yeah, just getting that out.
Yeah. So Tywin walks in with most of the new players, which were the Reach Lords that Nelson just mentioned. It's a much funnier scene, I think, in the show because the seating arrangements are a little bit different. Nelson.
And again, this is where the show really starts getting different. And a lot of this stuff isn't super different. It's just the timelines are like things happen before or after.
And just amount of people. Like they're not hiring a Mathis Rowan character.
Well, there's no Reach. There's a really funny scene where it basically starts with Tywin sitting down at the small council chamber.
Yeah.
Varys, Littlefinger, Pycelle, Tyrion and Cersei are all standing there with like open chairs and like really quick Pycelle, Littlefinger and Varys like try and get the closest seat to Tywin to be like buddy buddy. Cersei and Tyrion are chilling. Cersei brings her chair over to the other side so that she's the only person sitting on like Tywin's left side, and Tyrion just brings his to the head of the table. He drags it.
It
makes like a bunch of noise. It is like a kind of humorous way to show like the balance of power. Like everyone wants to try and be close to Tywin. Tyrion doesn't really care. He
just goes to the opposite head of the
marches
table.
Marches to the tune of his own drum, yeah.
But, and it's pretty much like Cersei's next to him here, the rest of the lords are kind of spread out, and then Tyrion's at the other end.
Yep.
So, but that's new. I just thought it was funny. I like that show scene, it makes me giggle.
Yeah,
not that it's important. He talks about the new people, and they actually do give him some, I just made a note, they give him some gratitude for his efforts in the Battle of the Blackwater, and you know, maybe it's not as much as he should get, but you know, they're throwing some praise his way.
He's like, go tell the fucking singers, man. Like, yeah. Don't be telling
Write a fucking book about me. I just saved your life.
Get this out. Give me the word out.
But and then Kevin says, like, yeah, you did really great. Or Lancel.
Okay, I skipped Kevin, by the way.
So Lancel was like, oh, he told me how brave you were out there. And then it's like, oh, how is he? So now we know he's maybe kind of doing better, but there's days where it's like, oh my god,
I don't know, man. He sounds like he's not doing so great.
Yeah, I think the best description, and it's kind of weird, and it's later on, is he would be healthy enough to marry someone, to lay there and say the vows if you gave him a piece of paper he could read off of it, but he's not strong enough to fuck. He couldn't consummate the marriage. So he's somewhere in ability to read and ability to fuck in terms of his health status.
It's so strange, right? So he took an arrow, right? Or was stabbed in the shoulder.
I don't know if we know exactly what happened. He got hurt like his in his shoulder arm up, area. Yeah.
And then Cersei like punctured the wound with her finger, kind of like.
She gets mad and like basically says, go make sure Joffrey comes. This is when in the Sansa chapter where she's in the thing during the battle.
Yeah, no, I remember.
Anyone listening. Lancel comes in and says like, hey, here's the status. And Joffrey's like, or Cersei's like, get Joffrey back. And Lancel's like, no, that would be a horrible idea.
That would break the troops outside. Exactly. Yeah, he needs to be out
there. I think she just like smashes him right in his wound and he falls over. Yeah. And Cersei dips and tells somebody else to go get Joffrey.
And he's like dying on the ground there. Yeah.
At that time I said like, oh, and Sansa goes to help him and basically says like, somebody get a maester or somebody take him to a maester really quickly. Yeah. And I think we had talked about it a little bit. Like, does she save his life there? And again, at that point we didn't know how serious it was. Here we find out it's like decently serious.
Yeah, probably did then. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels like you had a shoulder injury. Like it doesn't seem very life threatening. Yeah. Usually, maybe if the wound festers and like
modern
like,
medicine,
it's I get it, but like it's not like he was like out on the battlefield and not getting treated. Like he's getting treated pretty quickly after. But I do understand that they don't have they're like boiling wine. They're putting wine in his cut and hoping that it helps it. But
yeah, that's their go to milk of the poppy and boiling wine in the cut.
Tyrion just thinks to himself, "What would Cersei think about Lancel's state right now? Like, does she want him dead? Does she care? Because she's visiting him. That's the.
Is she gonna kill him?
She's been praying by his bed, is what Kevin says. And Tyrion's like, yeah, but praying for him to live or die, because she's probably got what she wants out of him, and now he's just a liability. He's just a walking liability, probably, as far as Cersei's concerned, is what Tyrion's thinking.
Yeah. So we get into the actual business of the council, and Cersei's like, should we start with the wedding? And Tywin's like, no, fuck that wedding. Let's talk war. So we get a little bit of some news about a tactic that we heard was happening in the previous chapter.
Yep, exactly.
At Duskendale.
Exactly, the thing for Duskendale. So let me send you guys this picture.
I don't know if I remember the discussion about this in the other chapter. I'm sure we talked about it, but
I think the Northmen were sending people to Duskendale from Harrenhal, and they knew about it somehow, and they were going to trap them, like or meet them there type of thing. Nelson will give us the details.
Yeah, I have two short quotes from the previous chapters. I don't actually know the quotes. I have my notes. So in Arya 10, Roose gets word that Helmyn Tallheart had taken Castle Dairy 2 days ago, and basically he commands him to kill everyone at Castle Dairy and meet up with Robeck Glover and start marching to Duskendale. And then in the first Tyrion chapter of this book, we heard basically he's meeting with Tywin again. And basically we get an update that Robb is still in the west, but we hear that there's a large force of Northmen led by Helmyn Tallheart and Robeck Glover going to Duskendale. Tywin says he's going to send out Randall Tarly to meet them and Sir Gregor Clegane to go up the King's Road, basically so that they can't retreat. And it's exactly what we hear here. Randall Tarly has won a battle. It wasn't super decisive. They both had pretty decent casualties, but we won for sure. And the Northmen are now retreating back to Harrenhal. And they're like, but the mountain should be in his way. So exactly. Looks like everything according to plan.
Mm-hmm. Did you say that Helmyn Tallheart died?
I did not.
I guess it's like the one notable name.
Yeah, exactly. He's the lord that dies.
With $1,000, yeah.
So the next news is Robb returning to River Run. And after, like, he just kind of left the crag and where they were looting in the west go for them to kind of heal. And he's back to River Run.
Well, they think he's headed north, right?
That's what they all believe. Yeah,
that's right now when they talk about that.
Yeah, right after. Like,
okay, say, I just didn't want to jump.
Yeah, no, that's my next. Note.
But yeah, so that's really what they talk about. They're like, look, he's got to go home. His like, we need to move. Pretty much, this has given the West some time to recover. Like you said, they're regrouping and regathering forces, but it also kind of exposes him big time.
Yeah, the big point they make is like, what is kingdom, what is a king without a kingdom?
Well, didn't Kat say that? Somebody else said that, I think.
I believe
what
Kat
is a king
did,
without his kingdom?
I believe Kat was like, if you can't protect your own lands,
no one's
gonna follow you type of thing.
So I mean,
did you say I was looking at the map, did you guys say what the Lannisters were doing in the west? They're remaking a new army. You guys said that.
Regrouping,
Is it cousin, is it a cousin?
I think it's the son of Stephen Lannister, who was the last one. The last Lannister
that nobody knew who he was to begin with.
Now it's his son. Again, probably a nephew. Yeah, nephew of Tywin, I'm guessing. And he's meeting up with Forley Prester, who I guess is sitting at the Golden Tooth. We know the Golden Tooth is like a pretty defensive position on the River Road between River Run and Casterly Rock. And I'm pretty sure even when Robb went west, he just avoided this group of people.
Yeah. Forley Prester. And as soon as I just found the paragraph, as soon as Robb turns north, they're turning on River Run. Yep. So. And then the next news is that Baelon wrote to the king for an alliance.
Give me the north and we're buddies.
Call him king and give him the north, everything north of the neck.
Yeah.
And a couple of the river or the reach people are like, yeah, fuck it. Do it. Who wants the north anyway? Like,
yeah.
Let them have up there. It's ruin wasteland anyway.
It's one of those things too, like where if Tywin doesn't say what Tywin says later, I'd probably think the same thing. Like, oh yeah, this does make sense. Like, it is kind of exactly what we want. Sure, let's join up with this guy.
Why pay him for what he's given us for free?
Yeah, I mean Tywin, like, well, nothing's changing, right? It's not like it would be different if the Greyjoys were attacking King's Landing, maybe.
Exactly.
Like they're not even bothering them. Like, fuck that guy. Like,
exactly.
Like he said, they're already up there helping him.
And like at
everything
this point,
he's doing is helping.
And he says it later, like maybe something better will come. At this point, like, fuck them up there. Like,
well, he does say
let them be a distraction for Robb is the better strategy for them right now.
Again, this is so. I think the Baelon thing is one of the things I circle back to later. So I'm not sure if it's now or later, but I think at one point Tywin does say, they do have all these ships out near the Sunset Sea, which is just the sea on the west. But that's where Castle Rock and Lannisport is. He says, like, they're in position to fuck with us if we wanted to. So we don't want to make him mad. But we don't have to give him what he wants either.
Like, at this point, like, the Lannisters aren't even there. Like, when's the last time, like, they got a new home? Like, I get it. It's their family home. But, like,
well, somebody's
they don't even have an heir right now. They don't even have an heir because Jaime can't be it. And he's not giving it to Tyrion.
He's not giving it to Tyrion. So, to Jeff's point, if Tywin died tomorrow, I guess it goes to Kevin.
Jaime's getting it. Are you kidding?
Well, I mean,
they don't care. Are you like, why do you think all of a sudden this is the law?
I don't know who enforces it. Cause like, first off,
I'm sure the king enforces it.
Like if Jaime,
yeah, exactly.
Like if Jaime really wanted it, then yeah, I bet you he could, but I guess we don't.
100% would get this.
Yeah. I guess you're right. They could make it work. They could make that work.
He would give it to Tyrion to keep it in the family. If it was otherwise, it's Jaime's.
Okay. That makes sense. My point is, it seems like Tywin wants to somehow make it so that if he dies, there's nothing for anyone else to do. It just automatically goes to Jaime. And my point is, I don't think that's quite where we're at right now. If he died, Jaime would have there to be like, be hey, Cersei, hey, Joffrey, sign some papers. You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Legitimate.
I think this is all unspoken, man. Okay. I think you're underestimating this family.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair. All right. So the next talks is that they still have a problem in the east with Lysa in the Vale.
Real quick before that, Littlefinger at one point makes a joke saying, I should send Rob an angry letter because it seems Roose Bolton has been stabling goats in my castle.
Yeah, in his castle.
And again, I think this is a jab because
Welcome back, Littlefinger. Because
they call Vargo Hoat the goat. Yeah. Right? And I think Roose is still at
their home. They're not actually stabling.
Well, I'm sure they have some goats, right? I think goats are like
not in the dining hall or whatever. I think it's probably in the stables.
Exactly. But I think this is a joke at Vargo. But again,
yeah, that's what I thought too.
Roose told Arya, like, hey, when I leave, I'm leaving Vargo in charge. But I don't.
Yeah.
We haven't heard that he's left yet. But again, in that Arya chapter, he did seem like he was going to be leaving pretty soon, which was why Arya was basically like, I got to get out before he gets out. So, but we haven't heard that he's left yet. So. That just confused me because it makes me wonder, is Roose gone from Harrenhal and Vargo officially the one in charge? Because if so, it's the first we're hearing of it. It's kind of what it seems like, but it's in a really weird way for that information to get snuck in a joke by little, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Who knows? So,
So back on to what I was saying, the next business was talk of Lysa still being kind of an issue in the east because she hasn't pled fealty to Joffrey, but she hasn't been fighting either. She's just kind of held up tight. So. They want to kind of figure out if they can get her on their side. And they have a nice little plan for that.
Didn't they say she was a traitor or something? But maybe.
Well, Tyrion isn't happy with her.
Yeah, well, obviously. But I think somebody else has said something like she's a traitor. And then I think that it was because of Jon Arryn and that whole thing, right?
Maybe because Jon was conspiring with
and she was kind of party to that, and that's why she went home. But yeah, I mean, I forget she exists. Like, she's more forgettable than and we don't get a chapter her. She's like Danny,
it's been so long too. It's been what, book one else, book two, maybe,
what, since we've seen
early
Lysa?
Book two. Yeah,
well, I don't think we've actually
or even heard about her, really.
Well, I mean, she's mentioned in Cat chapters. Like, Cat wants her to, like, write to Hoster because Hoster's dying and stuff like that.
But, oh, yeah. It's usually just sister stuff, not, like, hey, we need your army stuff.
My thing is, like, the only thing we really know about her is the same thing Tyrion knows from her. Again, besides, like, the other info we've learned about. But, like, actually seeing her in person, we've seen everything Tyrion's seen. Because it's either the Cat chapter with her or the Tyrion chapter with her, where Tyrion's pretty much there. And it seems from what my take on Lysa is, she wants nothing to do with this war. She just wants to stay safe. Sure. Does Tyrion not know that?
Keep her boy safe. Keep her baby safe.
Sure, but does Tyrion not know that? Because here they're like, what are we going to do with Lysa? I hope it would be nice if she just stayed out of the war. Which, like, it seems like she's going to do.
Well, if I can remember back, which it's been a while, and I don't remember, so I'm kind of paraphrasing, but she's not a big fan of the Lannisters, so.
True.
Like, doesn't she want to kill every Lannister?
And that's what that's part of what they say here is, they're like, we want her to stay out, but she was Jon Arryn's husband, and Jon Arryn and Stannis were sniffing around pretty much like anti-Lannister before Jon Arryn died. And Angie's sisters to Kat, who's the mom of the King of the North. So she's friends with the people that we're not friends with. And to your point, she kind of doesn't like us.
So I don't know if she like wants to stay safe or she's kind of like biding her time right now till she can get stronger, but. She's definitely not in a hurry, I would say.
Yeah.
But
I guess that's a fair possibility that she could just be biding her time. I guess I don't take it that way. I take it like all she cares about is safety. If I can just stay the fuck out of it, I'll stay the fuck out of it type thing.
I think she's kind of Switzerland in it, right? Like,
she's definitely Switzerland. Leave me alone. Right.
If you come here though, you'll have some problems, right? Yeah. I think it's where she's
like, we
at.
Have no problem but, killing you at the bloody gates and you trying to climb this mountain.
I also don't know though, like if they do attack River Run, right? Like, she might have to do something. Mm.
I feel like they've already been multiple letters and she's just like radio silence. Like, hey, help us. Hey, Hoster's dying. Hey, we're in a war. It'd be really cool if you came down. And she just like radio silence.
True.
Yeah. Her main priority is Little Robin for sure.
Yeah. For sure. So, but like, she doesn't have to go like to the war. That's like what's the goofiest
part.
Yeah.
But
right?
Yeah, exactly. If the knights leave, that's less people protecting Robin.
True. And well, so here's another thing. And this comes into play a lot of places here. Cause like they talk about 1,000 people die and stuff like that. Like, how many men does she have? Like, I don't know the size of these people's kingdoms. If she sends out 100 knights, is that a lot? Does she have 50,000 knights? I mean, that's a huge exaggeration, but like,
well, this is a chapter. We kind of get some numbers on that. So in the Battle of Blackwater, Stannis lost 47 lesser lords and 619 knights. So yes, like a 1,000 knights would be a lot of knights.
Is that a bunch?
To me, it's an army. Like, it's basically it's more than what Stannis lost in the Blackwater. And Stannis lost a lot in the Blackwater, right? Because he had like two or three times what King's Landing had when he showed up there. He just got fucked by the chain.
So 600 knights is a bunch. So like, if 50 knights for her, like, is that what you're saying then?
Like, the Dornish are sending 300 people, not knights.
How many knights do you think she has?
Just because she hasn't been involved, like, the Vale hasn't been involved in any fighting. If it was like, okay, call to arms, call the banners, I bet you they could produce
10,000?
10 to 20,000, yeah.
Knights?
Yeah.
Fighters?
No, I
wouldn't say they're all knights, but fighting men?
Yeah. My guess on that is just because, like, Rob basically, with all the North and the Freys, he had about 18,000. That was, like, his max. All the Westerlings, when Tywin basically just got everybody from the West, that was about 20,000. But again, there's a lot of mountains in the Vale, so I would think they're closer to the North than they are to the West, and just in terms of
population. That's the other side of it. Is like, I don't know the Vale. Like, we're never in the Vale, right? Like, I don't know the Vale.
Yes.
Yeah. We've been to the Eyrie for a week or whatever it was, and then that was it. Like, so I have no knowledge base for that. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. Anyway, I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but
All right. So, but Littlefinger has the key to Lysa Arryn, and it's hanging between his legs.
Ew.
It's his penis.
Real quick, before they get there, Tyrion says, like, I want them to give me men. I want to go take care of Lysa. Like, he thinks that he's going to go, like, command or assault on the Eyrie for a second.
He has thought that since he's been there, right?
Say that again.
He was like, I could take this.
Well, I still don't know what you're saying. Explain yourself more.
I swear that there was a chapter where he was like, with the mountain men, I could climb this Vale and we could take it with the right troops.
Basically, the way he escapes the Vale the first time is he knows the mountain men are going to come up to him, and he basically just accepts it. And he's like, I'm going to talk my way out of this. And he talks his way out of it by promising them
the Vale.
So yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if that's what you were talking about. That's the only time I think he mentioned.
Not just that though. I'm saying, like, I think he said, like, I can imagine Jamie's true, like, climbing this mountain, fucking Lysa. Like,
I don't know.
I feel like he said stuff like that, like, where he's like, this is not as bad as people think it is. Like, he thought so.
Well, you've actually seen season one of the show. That might be. There's a show only quote where they're walking up to the Vale. They're walking up to the Eyrie, and Tyrion says, like, it's impregnable, and Bronn says, they give me 10 good men and some climbing spikes, and I'll impregnate the bitch. But that's a show only thing.
Okay, maybe.
In the book, we get Kat climbing to the Vale, and she's just talking about how it's a nightmare. And then basically, he's just there, right? The next Tyrion chapter, he's just there, and he thinks about how he had to get basketed at the end of the way. But we don't actually see him climb the Vale at all. We don't get that from him. But yeah. So I just thought it was funny that he's like, yeah, let's go do it. And Mace is basically like, okay, buddy, leave the fighting to the fighters, okay?
Yeah.
Just like super condescending to Tyrion.
You've already got lucky enough.
Like, Tyrion just popped off in this battle.
Yeah, but nobody knows that. They think he just set up a chain and then was dying in the river.
He's got a missing nose. He had to have been out there at least.
They thought he set up a chain and then he was dying in the river.
Not to rehash the whole thing, but like, Lancel, like, and Tyrion had enough time that his fucking gaping face wound recovered, yeah. right? Like, and Lance was still messed up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he had a shoulder injury, and he's he's like on his deathbed from a shoulder injury.
I did want to say that, and weird. I forgot about it. But yeah, like, exactly. This guy's face grew back together, and his shoulder is that bad that it's almost killing him. It must be really infected and, like, just in a bad spot.
All right. So Littlefinger's going to go woo Lysa.
Well, and he, like, knows he can do it.
He's like, oh, I've been there, done that. She loves me.
I feel like he changed this chapter, right? Like, he was always grimy and a weirdo.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of
but
like...
I think this one, he, like, went over the edge with this whole, like, the key is in my legs and the what you said earlier with the goats in my castle. Like,
there's a part, I don't know. I think he's also always kind of been like that. It's been a while, though.
I don't know. Like, this is the first time he's, like, openly said, like, oh, yeah, I bang her all the time. She loves me. Like, I don't know. It's just weird. It's like locker room talk right now.
Yeah. He seemed to be really different here. But I don't know if we've gotten a council meeting with him.
We have before. But basically, the last time we've really seen him was in a council chamber where he basically decides, I'm going to go.
Get the Tyrells.
I think it's right after Renly dies. And he's like, I'm going to go get the Tyrells on our side. And he does. But I'm sure in that council chamber, he's saying some. I think this is pretty on par for Littlefinger.
I don't remember it being this bad.
I don't know about it being on, like literally, like, oh, I can save us the East. My dick's the answer. Like, that's super.
I could go look for cocky. One, but I don't think it's super important. But to that point, there's a time in this chapter where Tyrion thinks, like, this isn't a real council meeting, and I think kind of what you're saying here is a part of it. This is literally the whole thing scripted. Tywin,
well, right.
Littlefinger. Varies. Kevin seemed to have a script here.
Yeah, Kevin's just like, Tywin's just sitting there, right? And he told Kevin, like, all right, bring up this problem, bring up my solution so that, like, they can all agree with it. And then I'll be like, okay, that's a smart decision. Exactly.
Like, this is just a dog and pony show for the Reach Lords. Like, yeah. This is them making exactly, them feel important. All these decisions have been decided.
So that's a good point. That is why Littlefinger is even more extra than he normally
exactly.
is. Like, he was in on the joke.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he already knows what's going to happen, so he's hamming it up, and he's over the top.
He's definitely hamming it up.
He knows Tywin's going to agree with what he says, so he can say it in a raunchy way and still get the agreement.
Okay. Okay, thing. Then that's a fair reason that he flipped the switch here, and I didn't put that together. But
I don't think it's a complete flip, though. I think he's a little bit crude a lot of the time. But, again, neither here nor there.
I think it's pretty annoying. Like, Mace Tyrell is just annoying this whole chapter. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but, like, constantly he's just like, that's what I would do. Or, like, either throwing out his opinion or just agreeing with somebody. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like,
yeah, there's a guy at work like that he will he'll come with an answer and you'll say, no, you got to do it the other way. And then the next thing he does is, oh, yeah, that's how I would do it.
I'm right.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Yeah. It drives me nuts. Same thing, right?
In the show, they make him really ditzy, and I feel like he's not necessarily ditzy here, like dumb. He's just a super brown noser, and he just, like, wants to be kind of avoid confrontation.
He wants to be one of the boys, man.
Yeah,
his mom called him pretty dumb. What was his mom calling him? Like a loaf or
Lord
a
hedgehog or something like that?
Yeah,
Lord,
like, he's an idiot. Lord Pufffish. Like, I don't know. I feel like they portrayed him pretty well in the show, but whatever.
He's just a total idiot. I don't think he's actually dumb here, like. His house is making moves. Your house doesn't make moves if you're a completely incompetent lord.
I don't know.
He's I get that Olenna is definitely pulling a lot of strings, but you have to have some competence here.
I don't think there's much stuff going down south.
He wasn't really doing a whole lot. He's just sending his armies to whatever king he thinks is going to win at that time.
That's a good point. They talk about at one point that, like, his history, right? Tyrion thinks, like,
He didn't actually do anything.
Won a battle, but it wasn't really him. He showed up after Randall Tarly beat Robert. It was the only time Robert lost
in the rebellion. Like a questionable, like, it was like a not a, a decisive victory by any means, right?
Well, I think that's the other one, which was the Siege of Storm's End. Basically, he was the one on the outside when Stannis was starving inside. But even that, like, he didn't win. He basically just did it really, really for a long time, and then Ned showed up and was like, "Hey, the war's over. You lost." And he was like, "Okay." Sorry, right, I'm on your side now. So, like, that was it.
Yeah. So I don't know. He's not making moves. I would.
Well, didn't he get Highgarden through some weird way too?
No, his family his did. Family so that was 300 did, not... years ago.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
That was 300 years
but
ago.
But I meant, like, the whole thing, right? Like, their whole family has never done anything. Like,
okay. Yeah.
And like I said, I think down south, to me as a first reader, like, it doesn't seem like there's nearly as much happening, right? Like, it's these guys don't hate each other nearly as much. They're all just kind of, like, amassing their own. Doing their own thing. And
I feel like they're in such a great part. Like, they have so many resources, right? The Reach has all this food. They've got all this people. He's in a,
yeah,
like, it's like, I don't know, growing good times up in for like everybody. Los Angeles, and your parents like were gifted a really good job, and you have
yeah, and then now here they are, you know, in a war council. Like, they don't know what they're doing.
The Reach is for all the trust fund babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Silver Spoon.
And here they are in real life, right? This is like, hey, man, we have the nuke button here. Right?
They definitely have it easier than the South. But I will say I disagree with what you're saying, that there's not as much going on down there. I would say that so far we haven't been as involved in what's going on down there.
And that's what I'm saying. As a first-time reader, that's gotcha. My impression.
I'm saying that's slowly changing.
I mean, we haven't heard about the Reach wasn't being burned, you know.
Well, to Kyle's point, how many maps have I shown in this podcast? And how many of them have been below King's Landing? Maybe one Zero. Or two. Maybe if we're looking at
yeah,
Storm,
it's like one or two. We talked about Renly exactly. marching and stuff. Yeah.
So like, but now there's like the map that I'll be showing later on. We got Dorne stuff. Basically, all the Reach people we're talking about are down there now. So we're starting to get to the bottom of Westeros.
It's still, even though that though didn't, it just didn't seem like much compared to what we have up top here. We got fucking Icemen, and we got everybody is king.
Yeah, agreed. There's still more for sure.
So
the big news coming is that with Peter leaving for however long it takes to woo Lysa, is he's not going to be able to be Master of Coin.
He's leaving a vacancy. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
guy, I know the perfect guy.
Yeah. He likes to spend money. He's always been good at having it.
He's pissed though, right? Tyrion is immediately pissed once he realized that it's him.
It's a pretty shitty job. Like, it's like, oh, rebuild our economy. We're in $1 trillion of debt. Like, it'd be like, I don't know, an economist taking over the U.S.
Well, and they
debt
get
right
into
now,
it like later. Like, Littlefinger is like so good at just making money appear that like there's no way this money actually exists, right? Like, and that's even what Tyrion says. He's like, we're Lannisters. We dig our money out of the ground. Like, I don't know anything about how to, like, he was obviously
he's creating
manufacturing
money,
when we needed money.
It's weird because, like, if you look at it, like, on paper, in simple terms, Tyrion has a huge come up in this chapter, right? He's bitching about not being rewarded for anything. Bang, he goes from literally nothing, right? He's not the Hand of the King anymore. He's just the Son of the Hand of the King, is, I guess, the closest title you could give to him.
Which, we skipped it, but, like, he's really focused on this necklace still. At the very beginning of the chapter,
Tywin's,
he's like, that gold hand necklace is really shining.
Tywin's all
on
dripped
his,
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Tyrion goes from nothing to Master of Coin. And again, he goes from, like, relationship wise, nothing to Sansa, who, again, there's some questions on, like, is that like, do you want to marry a 13-year-old? Probably not. But that does come with some come ups, right? It comes with a very big castle, potentially. Again, it's not a free castle.
Smash castle.
There's things you got to do to get there.
It's smashed.
And to get it. Still better than an unsmashed castle. I'll take a smashed Winterfell over an unsmashed Winterfell any day of the week.
Well, would you?
For sure. Over what? Over nothing? Yeah.
I don't know what Winterfell looks like right now. And to me, mentally, it looks like flat, pretty much. Just like rocks everywhere.
Well, I'm assuming most of it is stone, right? Your stables or anything made of wood
is
gone.
Yeah, but like a lot of it was collapsing.
I guess you're right. Yeah. It's probably not a great spot, but.
Anyway.
Better than nothing.
You're right. It comes with another title, which is what, I mean, we see what that gets, what's his name? Littlefinger, right? Like,
yeah, he might be getting a nice marriage.
My point there was, though, is even this thing, which seems like a good, look, it's a promotion. Tyrion got a good job. He's like, he's like, what's going on with this? Like, Tyrion doesn't like it. You know what I mean? Like, this seems like a good thing. And he's like, what's going on here? He's like super suspicious.
I mean, if you really want to get into it, like, some of this comes down to just like his family dynamic, right? Like, he doesn't trust his dad. Like, we see that the whole time. He knows his dad is smart and pulls a lot of strings, and he knows that he's better than him. And he's like, he's wondering what his dad how his dad outplayed him.
But the first question Tyrion asks when all the lords leave and like Littlefinger and Baerys leave is, he's like, whose idea was it to make me Master of Coin? And Tywin says that was Littlefinger's idea. So this one. Yeah. Like, I agree with you that he's always like, whatever my family's doing, be suspicious. I think that extends to Littlefinger too, though. Maybe even more so.
For sure.
He's definitely sussed out about Littlefinger.
Right. I have two points now.
For sure.
I have two points now. Tyrion, before being Hand of the King, probably never actually had a job or work. Like, he was just running around reading, drinking, whoring. So
sure.
And then the other thing is, like, Littlefinger needed this job to climb. Tyrion doesn't give a fuck about climbing. Like, this was a way. Without this,
Tyrion's
Littlefinger's
already pretty high
in the council chamber, and he's not doing shit to end up getting Harrenhal. And So
you're saying yeah, a lot
this,
of people like
this job isn't getting him closer to Hand, yeah. And he wants to be Hand again, right? Like he wanted power.
If he's Secretary of Treasury,
like, he enjoyed the job of Hand. He's not going to enjoy the job of trying to pay debts off
a broke ass Treasury, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Where Littlefinger managed to do like weird shit. Which he even still was doing, right? Like, he schemed to get Harrenhal. I think we might have skipped it again. It might come back up later as well. But Littlefinger, he's using that title now to enable him to make this come up to marry Lysa.
Exactly.
And get the East. Like yeah. I mean, he's doing something all the time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to kind of close that point on, like, Tyrion being untrustful of Littlefinger. Was in the last Tyrion chapter with maybe not the last one, but the one where he was talking to Tywin, he's like, why'd you give Littlefinger Harrenhal? That's a huge castle. And Tywin's like, oh, it's an empty title. And Tyrion even like rethinks about that here. And he's like, empty title? Look what he just did with that empty title. Mm-hmm. Now he's...
Yeah, he doesn't ever have to even set foot in Harrenhal.
He hasn't even seen it yet. I don't even know if he's seen it yet.
Yeah, exactly, Jeff. He hasn't been
there. And he'll become, on paper, the Lord of Harrenhal and the Lord of the Vale.
Yeah.
All right, so they switch back to the Greyjoy Alliance really quick. And Tywin's basically... We have already said it. Like, Tywin's like, fuck that. Like, they're in the north. They're being a problem for Rob. Let them stay up there. You know, they're doing us a favor. They're not hurting us right now. Like, something better might come. And then they change to the wedding feast.
The one thing that we skipped over is if Littlefinger gets the deal done, right? So Littlefinger's plan is he's going to leave tomorrow. There's a boat. It's funny, he says there's a boat waiting outside the chain, so I guess this chain is still up, right? Because they don't have a fleet.
Too hard to get back down.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's because they don't have a fleet. They literally let all their own ships. So it's just
keeping everybody out.
This is like their main defense, is just keep the ships up. Like, they'll have to at least get off earlier before, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and that's actually kind of how I thought they'd use it originally.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Can they even, like, isn't there like kind of a mountainside there? Like, where are they even getting off?
It'd be tough, yeah.
Yeah, so. Why would they not always have a chain? Like, if this chain's that good, like, you should be able to open and close your bay.
I mean, growing up, we had a chain for our driveway, right?
Like, exactly.
Why not
thing.
Have a fucking chain for your driveway?
Exactly, same thing. You know, I like the boat names. The boat Littlefinger's riding on is called the Merlin King. Yeah. For some reason, that sounded familiar.
Me too.
I looked it up. It wasn't her before. I thought maybe I had remembered it, but I must just be remembered it.
I thought so too, Nelson. I was like, oh, was this one of the ones? Blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
okay.
No, yeah. I looked.
All right, so wedding, huge feast. I've got really quick bullet points, Nelson, if you want to unpack all of the, because Mace gets really upset because the Dornishmen are coming, and I don't really have the history written down, but there's a big feast, like thousands of people, right? They're in the inner castle, in the outer castle, in the outer yard.
They're fucking covering like just open air with silk. Like, there's going to be tents everywhere, essentially. Like, it's going to be crazy. This will be
crazy,
nice.
For sure. And massive. There's 300 Dornishmen coming up whatever way that passes through the Reach. And then we get, like, Mace obviously doesn't like the Dornishmen for a lot of different reasons. They've been fighting for a long time. Oberyn Martell, the Red Viper, damaged his son, crippled his oldest son.
And we heard this from the last Sansa chapter, too. That's how Willis got crippled, was in a tournament against one of the Martells, which is part of the reason why the Tyrells and Martells don't like each other. There's just long history of them not liking each other because of their border wars.
Yep.
But that is the fresh issue.
The freshest issue of them all.
Before that, well, I want to go back real quick. Before that, when they're kind of finishing up on the Baelon thing, Tywin says, yeah, why pay him for what we're doing for free? Best thing to do is nothing. And in enough time, a better option may well present itself. And Tyrion's like, what's he thinking? Like, there's something he's not telling people.
Well, and it's just Tyrion's going to get the North, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems like based on the conversation later. Or they do talk about the wildlings later. It might also just be like, yeah, let it burn up. Just let it all burn up there. Yeah. Like, Mance coming.
Well, yeah, he's got – well, he does say that. Yeah, he's like – exactly. He's like, he might have some other problems here when the wildlings breach, but he doesn't understand the whites are coming too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, jumping back into that, the Dornishmen, 300 Dornishmen. That seems like a lot of people. Like, if we're talking about numbers, that's like a small army.
It's like a city watch.
Like, they're sending, like, what, 25 to 40 people with Cleos, Frey, back and forth from River Run, and that's in the middle of a wartime, right? So
yeah,
this isn't like a
people to protect themselves.
Yeah, this isn't like a protection escort. This is like a...
it's big.
But again, he's coming to stay, right? Again, like, it's kind of like Ned coming to King's Landing for the
He's getting a place at the council.
Exactly. Yeah. And Ned came with, like, what, I think 50 people. And we saw how that worked out for Ned. So maybe it makes sense to bring a little more than 50.
Ned was just throwing people left and right. Right. He might have had 100. You can have 25 of my house guard, and you can have 25 of our men at arms, and you can have 25. You can
scrub the toilets.
He had to have 200. Yeah, he was just like
sending people to do dumb shit. Right.
I think he ended up with
these guys. 50 guys are going to be shrimp fishermen now.
Like, he might have had 50 household guardmen and then like 100 Northmen or 200 Northmen.
Well, I think that 50 number is from all my calculations of basically after he hands out all his men, how much he had at the very end. Like, when the shit went down, I think that's how many were in his command at that point. But yeah.
So they just talk a little bit. Like, Mace was like, okay, they can come type of thing. I don't know what the conversation was exactly. I didn't write it down. But the biggest part about it is that there's two weddings, obviously Joffrey and Margaery. And then Marcella and what's his name? Trystane is going to link these three families, Lannister, Martells, and Tyrells.
Exactly. Because Mace is not happy. Basically, as soon as Mace hears that there's Dornishmen coming, he's like, oh, they better not be coming over my lands, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh.
Very quickly, he's like, okay, they can come over my lands.
It's going to be everybody's land, essentially.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what they're going for. But again, Tyrion thinks to himself about a little map knowledge here. He says that the Dornishmen are coming from Sunspear, which is over here on the map, bottom right. So they're coming this way. He says they're going to come up the Bone Way, which is this passage right here. And basically all this red is Dorne. Anything that's red, you can pretty much think of as Dorne. Highgarden, so this is the Tyrells. Mace thinks he's going to like come this way, I guess, or like maybe up through here. But Tyrion says he's going to go to the Bone Way all the way to Summerhall. And now you're in Stormlands. Then go east to the King's Road and up this way. So basically what Tyrion says is like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, he doesn't have to, like, it doesn't make sense to go out of your way. Like, he has to go out of his way.
Yeah, he's not going through your fucking lands, man. Exactly. Yeah, well, that's kind of, I think, to the point of, like, just how, I don't want to say dumb, but, like, maybe out of touch Tyrells are, right? And, like, that's kind of gives credence to what,
Olenna. Puffish. Olenna. Yeah, he's, like, he's proud. Overly proud, seemingly.
All right, so I don't really have much else.
Well, I'll just touch on one more thing while we have this up, the map real quick, is the people that we're talking about here, right? Arbor is the red wine, so this is where Paxter red wine's from.
They make the good wine. Good wine, Arbor Gold.
And they have a good fleet. They're waiting for the Paxter red wine fleet to come around before they can attack Dragonstone. Old Town is the Hightowers. They mentioned them a few times as like some of the lesser lords who got like little tracts of land. Highgarden is where Tyrell's from, and Golden Grove up here is where Rowan is from. So these are the three big ones who are in here. Hornhill is where Tarly is. So this is Sam's house, right? This is Randall Tarly, who's been kicking ass over at Duskendale. He also gets gifted a bunch of
stuff. I mean, this kind of, it kind of plays into that, like where you were talking about Sam, the Sam chapter just before, but like to hear about his dad being like, his dad actually is pretty cool, right? Like, it seems like he's doing all right.
He's a badass battle commander, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it makes, I don't want to say it makes sense because I don't like the way Sam was treated, obviously, but
like, oh, I don't like you.
This is why he's such a hard ass, right?
Like, it's like if Jeff would have been bad at baseball. Like,
oh, it would have been bad in the household.
He would have been disowned. Dad's a baseball coach. Like, if you're not catching a ground ball, you're out there getting ground balls hit at you. Until the streetlights are going on, you know what I mean?
It's like the memes of like the little league, like the little league dad. Like, yeah. I've been there.
And there are some.
It makes you stronger. You either become better or you become. Sam,
I don't think that's good for you, man. I'm sorry.
There's to a point. I've seen some dads take it like way too far. To a point, it can be good for you.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't that bad. I'm just playing it up.
Yeah. So the other thing that I wanted to mention while we're here is Brightwater Keep. So this is something that they start handing out later. I think this gets given to Mace. This is one of the things that Mace really wants. This is the Florent lands, castle and lands. And Florent is Stannis's wife. So the Florents originally joined with Renly, and then when they had the choice, they joined with Stannis. So Mace is pissed because he's like, these are my guys. Why are they with Renly and Stannis? Like, they should have, like, pretty much when Renly died and all the lords had to choose where they're going to go, Stannis or King's Landing. Stannis or King's Landing. Pretty much the split was everyone from the Reach followed Mace and everyone from the Stormlands just followed in with Stannis. And the exception there is the Florents.
You said Mace?
Mace Tyrell, yeah. So he basically, all the Reach Lords were just like, we're going to do whatever
our leech says.
Okay, I got you. They followed whatever his decision
was. Exactly. Except for the Florence, which is why they kind of point this out later. And they're like, we want his land. We want the Florence. It's the next part. Yeah. So, yep.
Isn't there a Florence still running like Stannis? Like, is exactly. It the last time we saw Davos was the Florence? Was
the hand. Stannis is going crazy. He doesn't talk to anybody. Florence is running shit. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So the next part of the council talk is the spoils of victory, and I don't know, they don't really talk about it. You just hit on what Mace wants. The other people get a lot. The wine guy wants a lift of the wine tax.
He just wants no taxes. Yeah, that's like a sweet deal. He's like, fuck all that stuff. Well, I mean, and after seeing the map there, especially, he's on his own little island in the southwest. Like, he like, why does he like, where's he gonna want land? It's yeah, like my, yeah, that's like just I got struggle. Everything I need here. Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna make me have to like have people over there. Like, get out of here. So like, so it makes sense that he doesn't want anything.
All right. So other than the taxes, everybody from Stannis' camp got disinherited from their lands. So Nelson,
yeah, just I think it's funny when they're leading into the spoils. Basically, somebody says like, "Oh, now it's time to dish out the fruits," and Tyrion thinks to himself like. They want lands, and they want wardships of like, there's a bunch of like kids who don't have dads now because of the war. They want to take these kids on as wards. And I just thought it was a funny quote. Tyrion says, fortunately, these fruits were plentiful and there were orphans and castles for all. Basically, it's like there was a lot of orphans, a lot of castles to give out.
I think this is for you guys here. That helps kind of build into. You've told me about the wardship and whatnot, and like I think this kind of helps. This is me starting to learn about it on my own, I guess, is what I'm saying. So,
yeah, I think it's also kind of just, again, George is like anti-war, and I think that's him slipping in. Like, it's not all just like everyone just gets free castles. It's also like there's a bunch of orphans. Yeah.
There's a bunch of fatherless children out here.
Everything's broken. Yeah, like this isn't nothing's the same at the end. Yeah.
So the Tyrells want that castle that we were talking about for the Florence, and they want to give it to Garland. Second son, Loras Kingsguard. He can't take shit. The
badass fighter.
Willis is getting Highgarden. So exactly, Garland, badass fighter. And then again, I said some of them: Randall Tarly, Lady Oakheart, and Lord Hightower. They got shit too. They didn't really mention.
Where's Oakheart at? Did you just show us that?
Oakheart, I didn't show it.
Yeah, you don't have to pull back up, but like, which castle?
Oakheart Castle, Blackhaven is. Let me see. It's not Blackhaven.
Did I stump Nelson? Stump Nelson, guys.
Old Oak. Should have known that. I should have been able to look at the map and guess that one. Old Oak.
It's on the map?
Oh, yeah, it is on the map. It is on the map.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We're all learning today. It's right up here on the Ocean Road. It's good to know, too, because this isn't the only Oakheart we know. There's an Oakheart in the Kingsguard. He is the Kingsguard down with Marcella right now. Not that it's super important, but now we know where he's from.
Yeah, what's his name?
Aerys Oakheart. Okay. So basically they dish out everybody that, and they're done with settling everything. And Paxer's like, once he's happy that he got his wine tax taken care of, he's like, you know what? Let's have some wine to toast Joffrey and our awesome hand. Just like, just sucking off Tywin for giving him taxes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Cersei's like, Joff needs swords, not toasts. Knock it off.
Which is so weird coming from her, right? Like, that seemed like right up her alley. Like, let's fucking party.
It seems like they're just talking about shit she doesn't care about, and she just wants to get to the wedding.
Yeah, she wants to talk about the wedding. Yeah.
And when they get to it, they only talk about it for like a very short amount of time.
My son's getting married. Yeah, they don't give a fuck, other than the Dornish man coming. So, the High Septon got his crown stolen for
Well, we knew about that, right?
Yeah, that happened in the riot when the first High Septon died. This is High Septon 2. Okay, we don't know either one's name, but we're on to High Septon 2.
The other one had his guts eaten by the poor.
Exactly, yeah. The horde probably ate him. Ripped his arm off. So, yeah, this High Septon's, like, there, but he's kind of just been, like, throughout the chapter, he's been like, oh, heaven save, like, God save you, like, randomly. Like, oh, Littlefinger, the gods will help Littlefinger bring the veil into the...
Yeah, he doesn't really bring much to the table other than he just says shit every now and then.
You see why he wasn't in the show. Clearly, that's an easy character to cut if you're the writers there. So... What else? What do they do after? Basically, he says, the High Septon just says, like, oh, yeah, the thieves who stole the last crown and, like, sold all the pieces, the father will judge them. And Tywin's like, yeah, fuck, whatever. Sure, whatever you say. You need a new crown all the same. We'll crown you at the wedding. he's like, Cersei, you take care of it. Go get some gold or do your thing. You're the jewelry girl. So then he's like, Varys, get onto the important shit. And Varys pulls out some more shit that he just does not care about. There's a Kraken off the fingers.
Which, so like, Varys started this by saying like, oh, I got some great news, right? Like, yeah. And then they like kind of cut him off, went into that other stuff. And now here we are finally getting Varys.
I'm a little scared for Varys after this chapter. Like, if you're Tywin or Cersei, like, you're probably not happy with, like, Cersei, like, and Tyrion. Because later on they hear that the Sansa plot, the news of that got brought to the council, but from Littlefinger. And Tyrion's like, wait, Littlefinger told you that? Not Varys? So here Varys is bringing a bunch of news that Tywin thinks is BS. And then Littlefinger bringing actually important news. And then we're like, wait, why isn't the Master of Whisterers the one bringing us the important? Like, this is flip-flopped. So, but yeah, this is the fingers. So also important just because this is where Littlefinger's from. He's from one of these little fingers.
Huh, get it.
And this is where the Kraken was. So the Kraken was off the coast of the fingers and ate a boat. So
brought a whole boat down.
The thing is, I buy it. Because the other thing that he says here that doesn't sound believable, we know is like kind of somewhat borderline true. It's not a three-headed dragon, but Danny's over there in Karth with three dragons.
Well, this three is what dragons. We were talking about, yeah, earlier.
And if you think about the sigil, it's a three-headed dragon, right? So you can kind of say like she's been reborn as...
fair point.
That's a good point.
The sigil was born, her house was born, her fire was born.
Yeah, like even if she didn't have the actual dragons, it's the first like Targaryen sighting. There's a three-headed dragon. There's Dany's over there. Yeah, I like that. It's a good point.
And Varys does say weird shit, like, or shit in weird ways.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Like metaphorically.
Yeah.
Like the dire wolf has leapt from the top window.
So the other piece of news that Varys gives besides those two things is actual, like, seemingly true news. He says there's fighting in the Sepstones, which is down here. And he says there's probably a war about to break out between Tyrosh and Lyse. And he says they both want Myr, which is right off the map to the right. I can't go any further. That's also happening. So there's some shit kicking off down here, Varys says.
None of that is really in the south as we know it, right? Like, that's not the same as the war that's happening up north.
That's super south, yeah.
Yeah, but there are some news close to home. Our boy Tyrek was never found.
I forget who Tyrek is.
All right, now, where was he? Who was he? He was a Lannister. He was in charge of the city watch.
No, I think he was only like 12. He was the one who got married to a girl who was like a baby, right? Just there was like some girl who, she was the like nurse. A lesser, exactly. They called him
the wet
like,
nurse.
They called him wet nurse because his wife was like an infant. He got captured in the Ride of King's Landing. Same time that the High Septon got killed. He just went missing and basically they haven't been able to find him.
That's crazy too. Like I thought he got captured out in the middle of nowhere, but to be captured in the city and nobody can find
him. Well, I'm pretty sure he was.
That is bad news.
Like,
for him,
and the
right?
Tyrion was looking for him. Tyrion had like Bronn looking for him, and Varys like telling.
No, I remember now that you said that. I forgot all about this. Though.
They weren't going to stop till they found his body. Like, even if he was dead, they were going to find his body.
I think they
right?
assumed he was dead, and like I think that's where Tyrion left it. Like, I think Tyrion kind of stopped looking because he's like, yeah, that guy's just dead and gone and a million pieces. Or
that's crazy. Like,
yeah. So, yeah, so crazy.
Yeah. But then there were deserters, right? The people that put down, like, stopped fighting for a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, all right, what are we going to do with them?
Yep. Cersei's like, they endangered Joffrey. I want him dead. Varys is like, we've had some troubling news from
weird
the wall.
Weird shit coming from the north.
Yeah. Yeah. They might be better served to be Night's Watchmen. Yeah. Like, you'll still get kind of the same experience. They'll be gone from your life forever.
But yeah, yeah.
Like, they might.
They're good as dead to you.
Yeah.
And then again, here, Varys kind of gets mocked a little bit. Mace is like laughing at him, like, wildlings, dragons, krakens. Like, okay, sure. Everything's stirring nowadays. And Tywin's basically just ignoring everybody because he made all the decisions before the meeting even started. So he just gives them the answer now. He's like, we're going to break their knees.
We're going to do some old mob tactics and just break their knees cap so they can't do anything.
I think some of this is what pisses Tyrion off so much, right? Like, it's like the decorum of the whole thing. And like, Tywin's already got this all planned out. And like, I mean, I think Tyrion kind of misses the way things used to be, right? He's definitely like longing for the past.
What do you mean when it was like an
actual
meeting?
This should be my meeting.
When he was pulling the strings.
This should be my meeting. I should be pulling the strings. Exactly. Yeah. Like this, and like here he is.
I was so much better than
Tywin,
this.
And he's
I
already.
I don't know if he
yeah,
believes
he,
that or not.
I think
he's making a mockery of this. Like, and he's already, you know, kind of ruined this event. And I think this is some of it is just him being pissed about it, right?
I think Tyrion would be more okay with it if he was included in the pre-meeting. You know what I mean? I think now that he is realizing there was a pre-meeting meeting that he wasn't included in on,
he's and it really was just Kevin and Kevin and Tywin and maybe Littlefinger snuck in with some news.
Yeah, Littlefinger.
Exactly.
What's what? At least Littlefinger's bringing something to the table, which we find out soon. All right, Tyrion, get off your ass and your nursing bed and figure some stuff out for us. Maybe we'll get you in on this secret meeting.
You'll be a spy, exactly.
But, all right, so.
So Tyrion jumps in on the whole, like, let's break their knees, let's not break their knees thing. Yeah. On the, let's go down the middle. Break some knees, maybe the ones that killed my boy Jacelyn Bywater because I liked him. So break their knees. But the rest of them, yeah, my other boy, Mormont, he needs people. So send those guys up there.
Which is kind of cool, right? Like, I think this shows a little bit of Tyrion's maybe non-Lannister side, right? Like, he's kind of, he understands the route. You said this, I think you said this a long time ago at the very beginning of our experience, of our adventure here, right? Like, you said there's two types of people, some that are for the realm and some that are for themselves or their families.
For the pursuit of power.
Yeah. And like, so Tyrion here is kind of showing that
he cares about the realm and other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is like, Tyrion has the very rare attribute that you don't find in many Lannisters in particular, but really anybody in this world, of the ability to compromise. Like, okay, let's do both. Like, let's meet in the middle here. Like, it doesn't have to be all one way.
There was like 1,000 of them, right? Did they say how many there were?
I'm not sure they said the number here, but yeah, there were some people. So.
There was enough. All
right. It was anybody, right? Like, we know what happened up north. Like, they need anybody, right?
And and the way Tywin gets away from that is he's saying, yeah, but what they need them for is to protect the north. We don't want to protect the north.
Yeah, like, fuck yeah, let the wall collapse, baby. Yeah, like, but like, he doesn't realize that their problem is his problem.
Well, it's weird to me. The one thing he says is maybe in time, Mance Rayder could even be an ally. So again, like, he knows, right? Like, when Varys says wildlings, Mace just like laughs it off, like, ha ha ha, wildlings, you idiot. But Tywin knows the name of the king, wildling, or Mance, right?
Like, they would.
You know, at least Tywin does.
You would think that they would have a little bit of a crossover, right? Of
Mace laughed it off.
I'm saying Mance and Tywin might have a history. Like, what was Mance?
Mance was just a bastard who was on the wall his whole life, who flew off the wall. Okay.
I forgot his history.
Yeah. So, but again, just tells me that Tywin might pretend like he doesn't really care or even know about what's going on up there, but he at least knows, right? So.
All right, everybody get the fuck out. Lannisters, stay.
Yep.
Family meeting.
Tyrion doesn't like Littlefinger. We mentioned this. It was his idea that Tyrion became Master of Coin. Cersei likes him? Or like at least thinks he's smarter than Tyrion?
That's kind of part of why Tyrion hates that job, right? Like, it's kind of like Littlefinger sticking his nose in it, right?
I don't know what you mean.
Like, I put you here. Like, it's Tyrion or Littlefinger, like I said, like showing him who's boss, right? Like, haha.
Well, again, I don't think Tyrion even quite knows what Littlefinger's up to here, but I think Tyrion basically thinks like Littlefinger's up to something. Littlefinger doesn't do anything without being up to something. And I don't think Tyrion quite knows what it is, because again, it's a promotion. It seems like a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I see what Kyle's saying. It could be like, all right, Littlefinger knows this job sucks. There's no money. Yeah. You got to find ways to make money. Like, okay. Go ahead, Tyrion. Yeah. See if you can.
Yeah,
do
and he's fucking shoving his face in it. Like, now it's your turn, little man. Yeah. Right? Like,
yeah, we know they're super in debt. So, so when it gets to the Cersei part, Tyrion's basically telling him, "Don't trust Littlefinger." Cersei's like, "I trust him," and Tyrion's like, "Yeah, we know you trust him because he sold you Ned Stark. He would sell you just as quick. Like, coin is as dangerous as a sword in the right hands." And Kevin's like, we have all the gold of Castle Rock. And I think we mentioned this earlier too. Like, yeah, but that we have to go and send people to dig it up. Littlefinger just snaps his fingers and pulls gold out of thin air somehow.
Makes gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my man has been a magician. Yeah. Straight up, like, just cooking the books somehow here. And like, I don't know how he's doing it either. And he's going out and making alliances. Now he's gonna go fucking bang Lysa. Like, this guy
take her money and double it.
Yeah, like, he is. I look like, watch out, this dude is a snake.
Yeah, right? And Tywin, I don't know if he trusts him, but at least is like, well, at least he's bringing me useful information too. Like, he's the one that told us
exactly.
Tyrell's trying to marry Sansa off.
Yeah, that's what I was going to agree with you here, is that like he's kind of moving above Tyrion almost.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tywin really gives a fuck about Tyrion until he starts doing something that's not complaining.
Almost. I the Sansa deal is a big thing too, but I think that's also a punishment, right? So like we'll get to that in a second here. What's the next point? Yeah.
So we basically find out that they want to marry Sansa to Willis.
Yep.
And Cersei's mad because Sansa's her prisoner. More so than anything, she's like, no, she's my prisoner. You can't give her away.
Yeah, ain't nobody doing like, that to my prisoner.
If they ask, I'm not giving her up. And you're like, yes, you fucking will give her up if they ask because you're going to be an idiot and ruin our relationships with them.
Yeah, they're going to think you don't trust him.
Cersei's such like a fun character because everything she says like makes sense to a point. It's like if you're playing a computer at chess, but the computer could only look one move into the future. That's like what playing Cersei would be like. Like there's just no foresight of besides like the immediate like, no, Sansa's mine. Like,
yeah, I'm not giving her up.
Tywin's basically like, okay, Cersei, let's play this game. Then what happens? Yeah, then the Tyrells are mad. That's why we can't do that. She's like, I don't care if the Tyrells are mad. Like, okay, let's play that game. Then they all leave us. Okay, if you take it three steps, Cersei, this is really bad. You can't just deny people stuff.
It's not good for your son's
like, well-being. It makes sense why she wants this, but like, just think about it for a second, Cersei.
It's also a recurring theme throughout this chapter, right? Like now Tywin is literally in charge of everything. Like he even rules the fucking queen.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and again, Tywin's thought about all these chess moves before he's come to the thing. So he's not thinking of them on the fly like this, but yeah, he's running the ship now.
Tywin's always been daddy to Cersei anyway.
But well, he seems like such a fucking dick too, like an awful.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll get into like.
Would we have known any other hands of the king who would be like, yeah, break their kneecaps? Most of them probably. I feel like John Arryn, Ned Stark. Yeah, send them up to the wall.
Send them to the wall.
Rein it in. Tywin's like, the only bring it in here, Robert. we're not that kind of king, buddy.
But Tywin had a plan to stall the Tyrells' wedding proposal. Step one, Cersei's wedding.
Yep.
I'm not getting married. Like, took her by surprise. And this is where, like, I think you get
this is news to me, right? I'm dumb for not thinking of it.
Yeah. It's not. It's pretty hard to think.
That Cersei should have been married off?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So this is me being as naive as Cersei and thinking that she was in charge when actually, he's completely in charge now.
Yeah.
I mean, Cersei's like, no, like, I already got married. Like, I'm not remarrying for you. Like, I
did that once. I had a bunch of kids. I'm done.
Three's enough. Yeah. There's three Lannisters here.
Oh, yeah? Well, you're gonna think about that again and go marry South. How about the cripple kid?
Yeah. Well, they're also saying, like, this will put to bed the incest rumors. That's one of the reasons that Kevin and Tywin want this to go through.
Oh, yeah, it's so weird. This is kind of a weird conversation to be having.
Like, we gotta stop.
There's horrible, awful
stop
rumors.
Stop banging about your brother and go marry this guy.
Yeah, at the family meeting is when they're talking about this.
And Tyrion's the only one that actually knows that she was banging him and that the kids aren't Rob's.
We said this before, and Kyle said that he thought that Tywin knew, and I thought about it some more.
I still think Tywin
there's
knows.
There's definitely a scene in the show that now that I thought about it after you said that, that I don't think is ever in the books. So there's ever a hint where I think they're basically there's like it comes up that Tywin didn't know about it, or like we see Tywin learn about it, and I think that's a show only thing.
Yeah, Cersei's like, you never wanted to believe it, right? It was right in front of your face and you...
Something happens, yeah. And basically it comes out. But again, my point is, I don't think that happens at all in the books. So here I'm kind of on Kyle's side. Like, I think Tywin and Kevin just like know it and they're just trying to bury it in this meeting. I'm not 100% sure. I could still see
they're not going to be fucking talking about it. They're definitely not going to be talking about it in front of her.
Well, they are if it's truly a way to get rid of the rumors, if they think.
Like, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're not going to be agreeing with it and accepting it in front of her. They're going to be saying like those awful rumors. They're going to be covering it like this.
I'm not saying
you're not.
Yeah, yeah. I could see it going either way.
I don't know. Yeah, they might know it. They might know it and not want to. Admit it.
Exactly.
Admit that they know.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Why
would they?
My point is, until you had said that last time, Kyle, I was with Jeff where I'd always thought that he just didn't know. But I thought about it, and I think I only thought that because of the show.
He knows so much. He knows so much, man.
I don't know. I feel like I think
it's a toss-up is where I stand.
If he knew, he would have done more on his part to separate the two of them.
That makes sense too.
Even at like a younger age, like
it's hard to do that once he's Kingsguard and she's queen. But
for sure, but like if it really was happening at a younger age, yeah. So that's the only thing I'll say about that. But
again, we're going long. But I think that's what Kyle said, because pretty much what happened was Jaime got named the Kingsguard, and Tywin says, "Cersei, you're coming back to Castle Rock." Because Jaime, what he's thinking about it, he said like, "We made the plans, we executed the plans, and then everything was horrible. I was stuck in King's Landing, and she was back at Castle Rock." And I think Kyle was like, yeah, that's Tywin knows. He did that on purpose, which is like what you're saying. Like Tywin would have done this if he knew. And I think my point is he did do it. Again, moving back to this chapter. Cersei's like, I'm not a brood mare. I'm a queen.
I'm not
a horse.
Marrying any of these people. Like, oh, it's the dirty old man on the Iron Islands, or who else do they?
Yeah,
offer
so Tywin up? Goes through the list of options.
He another Martell.
Tywin starts off by basically saying, like, who it seemed to me, I take it as like who his top picks would be. He says Mace Tyrell, Lord Paxter Redwine, and Doran Martell. So two of the people that were just here or Doran. But he says, but they all have young wives who are out like to outlive them, so they're off the table. But like, why even mention them unless you're unless you think those are the best ones, right? So it's super weird. But he's like, yeah, they're gonna live. Their wives are gonna live longer than so that we can't do that. Balon Greyjoy is married, but his wife is old, so he is a potential option. So Balon Greyjoy and Cersei's like, no, what the fuck? No.
But they also need like a quick wedding, right? Like they are. Like it seems like they're like time is kind of the essence here.
It's a thing where I think Tywin has the answer. He knows it's Willis. This is all just a dog and pony show to pretend Cersei has a choice here.
I mean, just like the rest of the whole meeting, right?
It happens with Tyrion too. And Tyrion's like, I know this is just a show for me, so I'll let them have their fun.
Yeah. I mean, he's more or less trying to make her feel better by giving her a choice between Balon, who still has a wife. Like she's not dead. She might be old. But not dead, and Willis. So like, oh, great. I get to pick between the old Kraken or the hurt dog.
Well, those are the two she says. He gives a few other actual ones. And it's funny just because I have this going, Tyrion just like, just when I was about to give up praying, some sweet God gives me this. Just like Tyrion just loving this like whole discussion about Cersei. So Tywin also says Oberyn Martell, who is the guy who crippled Willis in that tournament, like the guy who started the feud. And then he's like, I bet you don't. You probably don't mind a younger person. We could go with either Horace or Hobber. So the two Redwine twins, the two captives we've had the whole time. Basically, Paxter's children.
Aren't they ugly?
Sansa and her friend Jane used to call them horror and slobber. So yeah, not good looking. Theon Greyjoy.
You can use the Game of Thrones.
Calmly. And Quentin Martell, who, again, first time we've heard this person, some other Martell. It's Doran's son. So again, she basically just went down a generation and gave... You listen to all those people. But then he's like, to just point, the number one pick is Willis Tyrell. Again, we're trying to stop the Willis Sansa marriage. So if you marry Cersei to anyone else, it doesn't stop the Sansa Willis marriage. So again, to me, Tywin has the answer already. It's Cersei and Willis. Like anything else doesn't accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. And he's like, you can make your choice. And but when he says Willis, Tyrion's like, oh, that would be the cripple. Tyrion's like just twisting the dagger a little bit.
That would be the gardener and the dog breeder.
Yeah. He does seem like a cool dude, though.
Yeah, Willis does sound like a cool dude. All right, she leaves mad, which brings up the next one. Tyrion's wedding.
Yep.
Sansa. All right, and the biggest part is... They need to do it before Joff's wedding.
Well, real quick,
because they know
the one thing before they get to Tyrion's wedding is Tyrion thinks that Jaime's a little bit older now and a little bit more do his own thing, like don't listen to anybody, take no shit type thing.
He thinks
he says that if Cersei and Willis get married, Willis might come down with a bad case of sore through the bowels.
He's gonna kill him.
Tyrion's getting married to Sansa. They need to do it before Joff's wedding because. Mace isn't going to do the Sansa thing until Margaery and Joffrey are married. And there's obviously a lot of reasons for the Lannisters to try to marry Sansa, right?
Yep.
To stop the Tyrells from doing it, to shore up the North, give them a shot of getting some land.
It's so weird, though, right? Like, this is still strange because, like, they're enemies.
It's the way of the world, though. I mean, she's bleeding, which is the clock.
That's not at all what I'm talking about, though. Like, I'm just saying, like, they're, like, sworn enemies, and here they are, like, oh, we're just marry each other, and now the war's going to have to end. Like, is that the dress they were making? Was it her wedding dress to Tyrion? Did I just piece that together? Here's the big
interesting thought.
The big problem that with that dress is that it's going to be her own wedding dress to marry somebody that she wants nobody to marry. There you go. I did piece that together.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. Nelson, the other thing, I'm just going to roll on.
Just the whole like while they're talking about Tyrion's marriage, there's a point there where Tyrion's like, "I was married, or did you forget that you had my wife?" You had my marriage annulled, and then my wife basically raped by all your guards. like Tyrion thinks about it. He doesn't say anything. He didn't want to broach that subject, but yeah, it's going through his head.
It
there
wouldn't
a
have
bit.
Went well.
He's also sure. thinking about Shay a lot. He's like, I don't want to get married. Shay's everyone
Shay's
I need.
Shay's not going to want me to get married.
Exactly. Shay wouldn't like that either. And I'm just like,
but she's okay with being my whore.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I agree with him on that one. Like, she seemed like kind of fine with.
That is the last thing she said to him.
Yeah. Like, I'm cool with whatever. Just keep me. Just keep me around.
Yeah. And Tyrion's kind of like not happy about it. He's like, why do I have to marry this girl? And Tywin's like, look, this is a great reward. You're marrying a young, good-looking girl yeah. who's a high-born. Yeah. She's got the biggest good kingdom lands, in the north. Yeah. Like, this is like this. You should be like thanking me. This is like the biggest thing I've ever done for you is giving you this marriage, and you're not for it.
And Tyrion's like, what about you? Think about Sansa. Like, she's been being treated cruelly by Joffrey for how long? You're gonna give her to me? And Tywin's like, first off, I don't give a fuck how Sansa feels. Second off, like, do you intend to be mean to her? Like, she yeah. can be as happy as you make her. Like, just don't be a dick. It's kind of what Tywin says there.
Yeah, but this
do you
is,
plan to mistreat her?
It's so weird. I don't know. It's so I have a, such a hard time relating with this stuff.
He's like, she's the key to the North. We need her. And he basically, this is when it gets a little weird. He's like, Cersei has told me she's flowered.
Just got to bang her once.
You only need to bang her once for the first few, like, basically to prove
and
that
then
the
you
marriage happened.
Until she's older.
Yeah, then you can wait.
That was weird.
Yeah. I guess, again, I don't know how much of this is based off, like, real history.
I don't know. I have no clue.
Like, was consummation, like, a thing that you
I'm
had
sure.
to do for the
I'm
marriage
sure that
to
was
be
a big,
real?
Big thing.
I would think so.
There's a thing in the other book series I read, Broken Empire, where basically that happens. A guy has to, like, he consummates the marriage and he sticks the bloody bedsheet out the window and everybody
well,
cheers.
There's got to be a reason it's...
I didn't
there's
read
a
that.
Word for it, right?
Yeah.
I didn't read that part, Nelson. Spoiler.
Well, you stopped reading.
Well, I stopped needing to paint my house, so I've...
Got off the audiobook train, yeah.
So the next thing I have is the story of him trying to wed Jaime to Lysa and basically, like, look, I tried to marry you to anybody...
Just real quick before they do that, they basically go down how nobody wants Tyrion. They basically do this dog and pony show that Tyrion recognizes. They're like, well, if it's not you, it's going to be a Lannister. And they're like, what about these Lannisters or this Lannister? Like, yeah, hey, how about your two twins, Martin or Willem or Theon?
Oh, these two are in prison, and this one had an injured shoulder, and he can't get
exactly.
his pee-pee up.
Yeah, and Tyrion starts to think about it. He's like, good-looking Sansa who likes songs and tall people and handsome people. He's like, fuck, that's not me. But yeah, then Tywin kind of says, like, this, you should be good. Like, I've tried to get you married before, like, to your point. And it starts with, the first one was when Jaime got, and this is, we picks off kind of with Jaime's history. Jaime, we heard in his history, was probably going to supposed to be married to Lysa, but then he got named to the Kingsguard. So where that picks up was Tywin goes back to Hoster. He's like, hey, you can't have that son. How about my other son?
I have another one.
And Hoster's like, yeah, I want a whole one, though.
I want a whole man for my daughter.
Which is kind of fucked up.
Definitely.
And Tyrion thinks, like, wow, that's fucked up. Like, I wasn't good enough, but Jon Arryn was. And Jon Arryn was literally
old
enough to be
Jon Arryn.
Her granddad. And he's like, whatever. I'll count myself lucky because she's crazy now. And then Tywin keeps going. He's like, I tried to offer you to Dorne, basically to, like, probably to the Martells, but they took it as an insult. He got the same response from Bronzeon Royce, from Leighton Hightower. And he even went so low as to suggest that Tyrion marry the girl that Robert fucked in Stannis' marriage bed, basically the mother of Edric Storm.
Yeah.
But even her dad was like, nah, I'd rather give her to just like a random knight in my household.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's here either. And he's like, all right, like, if we don't want to marry Sansa, like, maybe Lawless will marry you.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, right here.
For her, man.
Yeah,
he says that's the only offer he's actually had for Tyrion. He's like, yeah, it's Lollys, the half-wit who was raped a hundred times during the riot of King's Landing.
And is now pregnant.
And is now pregnant. Exactly. Yeah. So. And Tyrion's like, I'd rather cut off and feed it to the goats, which is Tyrion going to his mountain clan.
Yeah, show. Exactly. Yeah. A little throwback there.
Yeah.
So the next part I have is that Tywin believes we have some time because he doesn't think the Greyjoys can actually hold the North. Especially when it becomes winter.
Well, I think Tywin also hits Tyrion with some tough love real quick. He's like, what's wrong with Sansa? Like, wake up. This is good. And Tyrion's like, I want someone who wants me. And Tywin's like, you fuck whores.
Yeah, they don't
fuck
want
you. Because you pay them. Yeah. Not because they want you.
Tyrion's like, well, they
like
want me.
Money.
That's what he thinks, right?
So yeah, then we get into your stuff.
All right, so he has time to actually, like, act like a husband to Sansa, I guess, because... They're really not going to try to take over the North until after the Greyjoys abandon it come winter.
Yeah, so the long-term plan, right? Tywin has like a somewhat vision of the long-term plan.
Yeah, why not marry me to Greyjoy's daughter, who we know Greyjoy's daughter, right? Like that's, yeah. I don't think she would marry Tyrion, yeah. But...
because she's the one who would inherit the North, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because yeah, they hold the North right now.
And why not her? And he's like, well, yeah, he's exactly. He cares more about plunder. There's nothing up there. Like, there's nothing for him.
They're not going to last the winter up there. They're going
to
go
life is going to be way too hard for him.
Which, to be fair, is like, it's interesting because the way that they see the, like, the way that Tywin and Tyrion and them see the Greyjoys is as like a united Greyjoy army. When the way the Greyjoys see themselves is, we're attacking the coast and dumb renegade Theon went to the middle of the North and took Winterfell. But like, you know what I mean? Like if he hadn't have done that, does Tywin, like, it doesn't seem like they're quite as trying to conquest the entire North. They're kind of just like trying to take a few castles on the coast. It's kind of what it seems like to me. You know what I mean? Theon's the one who went over and
above.
Well,
they weren't on the coast, so they were getting Mo'Kaelin and
like, Mo'Kaelin the next, so you couldn't get the retreat, and then the Deepwood, the other castle they got was Deepwood Mott, which is kind of on the coast. Yeah, so again, I think a little bit of what Tywin's saying here, where like all he cares about plunder, this is never going to last, is partially because he's thinking like the way Theon's thinking about it, but it's not quite the way Balon's thinking about it. But basically what he's saying is it's not going to last. The Northmen, the North is harsh, like the winter's harsh in the North, and the winter's coming. It's almost autumn. The Northmen, I guess, need to like stock up food or whatever, and these guys probably aren't doing that. So the small folk are not going to be happy with them come spring. And when you show up with Ned Stark's grandson, everyone in the North is going to help you put that guy on Winterfell's throne.
Wait, Dad. What if Rob, the young wolf, has a baby?
Yeah, he's supposed to marry a Frey, and they're pretty fertile.
He's not marrying a Frey.
Yeah, the news comes out. This is the first that news gets out. And Varys didn't tell us, and Littlefinger didn't tell us. So I don't know. Well, Littlefinger's here, though, isn't he?
Yeah, we don't know. They could have told Tywin. We don't know if one of them told Tywin.
True.
But no, nobody's in this room right now except for Lannisters. And Cersei left. So now it's just Tywin.
I thought Littlefinger stayed.
No, he left.
Okay.
Everyone left. Yeah, so just right now it's just Tywin, Kevin, Tyrion.
Okay.
Because Cersei left too. So yeah, Rob has married Jean Westerling, one of our guys, right? Because this is from a Lannister perspective. This is one of our lesser lords, one of his daughters. And Kevin's like, yeah, basically he offered her to one of my children once. But I had to say no because they were too lowborn.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, this is pretty much what Kat was even saying. Like, this is not, like, they're not on your level.
Yeah, so I think Tyrion kind of describes it, though. He kind of, like, compares it to a character we know. He says that, and it's crazy because Tyrion later says, like, this to me, I don't consider this lowborn. She says that the person, so Jane's mom was a Spicer, Sybell Spicer. Mm-hmm. Her grandfather, so Jean's great-grandfather, was like a Davos level person.
Yep, the Onion Knight.
Who maybe became a lord, right? He might have been the first one to become a lord.
Yeah, so I mean, he's a highborn, essentially, then. But he's a low highborn, I guess.
A lesser lord.
He actually might not even have been a lord. He might have just been like a really rich knight, maybe even. Right? Or maybe even not a knight, just like a really rich merchant.
He had a really good spicing business.
Yep. But the grandma, Sybell's grandma, Jean's great-grandma, is this like weird prophecy,
witch
magi lady who
Miri Mazdoor,
the Spicer grandpa brought back from one of his like trading voyages, and she's like a known witch of the woods type person now.
Yeah,
it's like doing potions and stuff in the woods.
We don't like that shit. Love potions
and so I think it's funny because Tyrion's like, having married a whore, I couldn't share my uncle's horror at marrying the great granddaughter of a guy who sold cloves.
Yeah, like who really am I to talk shit, like, right? Like,
yeah, like, yeah. Who cares? Yeah, but yeah, they say that.
Yeah, the next part I have is just Tyrion kind of being surprised that Tywin's not like overly angry about the Westerlings leaving them.
Well, they do. They kind of clarify something that I feel like maybe we talked about in the other chapters with the other Rob chapter here, where basically says like, oh. Tyrion says, I can't believe Rob would do this. I thought he had more sense. And Tywin says, he's 16. At that age, sense means little compared to lust, love, and honor. And Tyrion says, he forswore himself, shamed an ally, betrayed a solemn promise. Where is the honor in that? And Sir Kevin answered, he chose the girl's honor over his own. Once he had deflowered her, he had no other course.
Ned.
They know a lot of details about her being deflowered. This is weird, yeah. Did they wave the sheet out of the window?
Well, so this is why my prediction is going to be that the Westerlings are more into the Lannisters still than they're putting on to Rob here.
I bet some of that prediction comes from this little last bit, right? Which is what Jeff was alluding to earlier, that Tywin is known to be very upset when people are disloyal, and he does not seem very upset here.
Yeah, like this is something he might have put them up to.
Neither of you guys have read a quote yet. Read that little quote, Kyle. He had extinguished the proud reigns of Castamere.
He had extinguished the proud reigns of Castamere and the ancient Tarbex of Tarbeck Hall, root and branch, when he was still half a boy. The singers had even made a rather gloomy song of it. Some years later, when Lord Farman of Faircastle grew truculent, Lord Tywin sent an envoy bearing a lute instead of a letter. But once he'd heard the reigns of Castamere echoing through his hall, Lord Farman gave no further trouble. And if the song were not enough, the shattered castles of the reigns in Tarbeck still stood as mute testimony to the fate that awaited those who chose to scorn the power of Casterly Rock. The crag is not so far from Tarbeck Hall and Castamere, Tyrion pointed out. You'd thought the Westerlings might have ridden past and seen the lesson there.
Yep. So
mayhaps they have, is what Tywin says. He's like, I think they're still in line, is pretty much what he's saying.
So this is the first we've heard of this, right?
I mean, we kind of knew that they were pissed, it seemed like, right? Like some of them didn't seem like they were that loyal.
No, I'm talking about Tywin's
the history of the reign to Castamere.
Oh, yeah. The first we've heard that, those two things, yeah, I think.
So there was these two houses, and again, we don't get too much, but I'll give you a little bit more just to clarify, because I think there's enough context clues here. Basically, there was two lesser houses. The Reigns and Tarbex. And Tywin's dad was the lord. He was kind of a soft lord. He let people push him over. He let people borrow money, and he didn't like keep them.
He was a nice guy.
Making up on their payments and stuff like that.
Put interest on it.
And Tywin thought that these two lords were getting a little too comfortable. So again, we don't know what happens. We'll find out more about this later on. Basically, he just completely obliterated every single person. These houses, there are no people. We won't see any Reigns or any Tarbex at all in the books because they don't exist anymore. Tywin took them.
Dunzo.
All gone. And even their castles are, like they say here,
smashed.
Gone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like they are. And I think it kind of goes back to he left the castles there on purpose.
Yeah, for sure. It's like putting the heads on the spikes and leaving them there.
Yeah. It's like the Hunger Games leaving District 13 to like the ruins.
These are the guys with broken kneecaps that are begging in the streets that remind all the other soldiers in the gold cloaks.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you desert while Tywin's in charge.
Don't desert Tywin Lannister or you're going to be dead or broken.
Yeah. So basically the last part of the chapter is Tywin says he knows that they know about. He's like, trust me, they know about the reigns of Castamere.
And you will marry Sansa.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So long chapter, right. Went long. We thought it'd go long. Again, I like it. Kyle, any? Do you like it a little more after we've gone through it a little bit?
I mean, I liked it to begin with. I didn't mean to say that, I guess. It was just kind of one of the...
I get what you were saying. You're saying there's a lot of names. Like, and again, if you're not reading it like a maniac like me, where you're taking
notes.
Well,
and not even that, just the subplots going on in the background and not knowing, like, I think we probably passed over some things that I could have probably maybe made guesses on or things like that, but it's they're the whole chapter is like that, and that's kind of the whole chapter is that hard. And I'm like, and the whole time I'm reading it, I'm trying to think of like I have this other obligation where I have to talk about this, and I'm like, oh, what's this mean, what's that mean, you know? So like it's like kind of this hard thing, and like I said, it makes me feel dumb because I'm like, this exercise, and I'm like, I honestly don't know what he's referencing here. I'm not really sure, like, you know, the deeper plot.
I don't think you would have been able to guess Cersei's, like, you could have read it slower and taken notes, and like, there's nothing pointing to Cersei getting remarried other than that she was still young enough to remarry. Sansa, the dress, like, it's funny because that was like two chapters ago, and like, obviously we knew.
But there's things that, like, I see that you're talking about, like, that we could have asked you, like, hey, Kyle, do you have a prediction on this? And there was a few things that I wanted to, but it's weird, like, in a chapter this long, when I'm not asking you about predictions for most things, if all of a sudden I ask you for a prediction, it's like, I feel like it's almost leading.
It is, but I mean, isn't that kind of the nature of this? So like, I think you can't avoid that completely. I don't know. I'm not saying just to ask it every time.
Like, there's one thing I want to ask you, but I feel like the question would be.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, like, go over the top with it, but at the same time.
Text it to me, Nelson.
All right, I'll text it to Jeff real quick.
No, I don't think we. I think it's too leading. No.
That's too leading.
It's too much.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what Kyle could even predict. Like,
I tried to make at least one there, right, with the Rob thing.
Yeah, so. The West Wing. Yeah, yeah. I think that's.
And I mean, it sounds like Littlefinger's going to win again because he somehow pulls everything out of his ass and wins.
I just hate because it's so interesting to see Littlefinger and then he just like in for a council chamber and fucks off, right? Like, bam, he's gone. He's going to the Vale. I don't have any POEs in the Vale.
Miles
like,
away.
Yeah, like he did this last book too.
Yeah, he went somewhere we had no way of knowing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah. I think we've been going long enough. We'll call this here. We'll jump into the spoiler section. And we'll see Kyle in the next one for Catelyn 3.
Bye, Kyle.
Later, nerds.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Bye, Kyle!
Bye, Kyle.
See you on the next one.
Sleep.
Jeff and I are super excited getting into the spoiler section on this awesome chapter. Jeff?
Hey, I don't want to... We've been going long. It's late. It is a really good chapter.
We've been going long.
I'm going to drink some whiskey.
We got to get Jeff fired up. Hopefully some of the stuff that I bring up, we'll get some gears turning. We'll get some stuff going.
All right. Let me start with a light one. I'll start with a light one, and it's super light, and I purposely skipped over it in my notes, and if Nelson keeps in the non-spoiler, like, he wanted to talk about Littlefinger, Dantos,
this
Sansa
is a good point. Yeah, I think
mixed up, and I...
Hold on. So explain what you're saying. So some of this might get cut from the non-spoiler, because we did ramble at the end a little bit,
yeah.
But basically, I was proposing asking Kyle... a question. Sometimes it's hard to tell like what I'm allowed to ask Kyle and not without being leading. And what I kind of wanted to ask while we were going, but again, I didn't know how to sneak it in. A, because I wanted to keep us rolling, but B, I didn't know how to sneak it in without being like, oh, hey, Kyle, isn't it weird that Littlefinger knew about this and not Varys? Especially because like Butterbumps was singing when this was being discussed. But then again, I think Kyle's been paying attention and it would be too easy for him to be like, okay, who knows? Dantos, Littlefinger is the Dantos guy. But again, yeah, I think there have been hints of that before. So I don't know if it's bad. No. It's kind of the dress thing, right? There's like, no is it link. Bad if he learns it? Because he thought about it. Just took a little nudge.
What do you mean? He went back. It's not that hard. She got a dress. Like, she's getting married.
Figuring out theories in Game of Thrones is like gravity. All it takes is a little push.
For sure.
And but, I just wanted to, sometimes you just got to give Kyle that little push. Like, hey, isn't that dress a weird thing to think about now? Or like, isn't it weird to think about how Littlefinger knew this?
He would never, but that would also change his whole experience. Like, you're now taking away.
Sure, exactly. And that's
you're
why
taking away that holy fuck moment, which I think is a crime.
I agree. That's why I feel like I don't say that. I try and hold back and not say those things.
Yeah. So back on track.
Another thing I want to ask you real quick. Sorry. Just clearing up. I do like when we talk about the stuff from a non-spoiler before we get into the actual spoilers. The thing about Tywin not knowing Cersei or Jaime. I honestly don't think that's in the books because, and I kind of was lying when I said like, oh, how would we ever learn that? Because we don't have those POVs. We do get Cersei POVs, but we don't get Cersei POVs until after Tywin's dead.
Right.
So I do honestly believe that that's impossible. And I don't think we ever get a scene like that in the books.
Yeah, I think that was fine to say. Like, even like we could even say the show was different. Like, in the show, it was very clearly Tywin didn't know. Like, he gets super angry.
Yeah, when she brings it up, for sure.
Yeah, and she's like laughing at him, like, huh, you really are an idiot. Like, you really are blind.
That'd be interesting. I kind of want to look that up in the fandom. Or I guess just like fan. Yeah. If you're listening this far into the podcast, let us know in the comments or in the Discord.
Do you think if Tywin knew? I could honestly, I see both sides of the coin. I'm saying like, he could be so blind with pride that like, he would never ever think that his kids would do it. So like, it doesn't even cross his mind. And then I could also see him just turning a blind eye because... Again, his reputation, like, he wouldn't, and like, he's gonna try to do it like secretly under the wraps, but Cersei went and screwed up the plans.
Yeah.
But
all right, so now into actual spoilers. What you got?
All right, so the first one, and I skipped over it in my notes. I wanted to see if Kyle was gonna bring it up, and he didn't. But it was maybe because there was so much to talk about that he like didn't even give a fuck. Like, he was just kind of along for the ride. Peter Littlefinger, I don't know why I called him Peter, won't be at the wedding.
He won't be at the wedding. Exactly. I was going to say that there was a thing where just because he has a funny quote when May says, oh, you'll miss the wedding, or maybe Paxter. And he says, brides and tides wait for no man. I think that's a cool quote. But yeah, he's gone. But the thing is,
he's not really gone.
Exactly. Get it. I think you said it, you're going to start with not a big one. I think that's the biggest one, is that like, what's actually going on with Littlefinger here? He says he's going to see Lysa. He's literally just going to go chill offshore for a couple weeks, wait till all this wedding nonsense happens. Who knows? He probably is like pulling a Varys, and he probably just throws on a fake mustache and he's probably like in the crowd.
You would think that Varys would know.
Yeah. You're right. He has his pretty thumb on it. But yeah, like,
but he's not going to the Vale yet.
Yeah. Yes.
So does he actually do anything? Is he just like meeting with Dantos maybe on the rocks, you know, and just getting more information, whatever it might be. But
yep.
So that's really the one I had. I had one other point, which like once you read this chapter, like I feel like it is a lot clearer that the Westerlings could be on the Lannister side right now.
Like I feel like I won't put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming you too. I never once thought that the Westerlings and the Lannisters were working together until I was maybe afterwards when I started looking up theories and stuff after I finished reading them all. This is one of the things I definitely would have read over.
I don't really remember the details of the I don't remember what more I'm going to see from Jane and the Westerling clan till the Red Wedding, and definitely I don't remember after the Red Wedding.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to say like whether or not I do know. It's a little suspect that none of them are there.
So the one thing that I would say is,
what about the squire? What about the kid squire?
So okay, yeah. I guess let me catch you up on things you might not remember. The Westerlings definitely don't seem to know about the Red Wedding, right? So if they're in working with the Lannisters don't tell them about the Red Wedding, which makes sense, right? Fuck them. Like who cares?
Yeah, we can kill them off and fill their house with somebody else.
Literally, who gives a fuck if they die or not? They're just getting used. So my point is, I guess if they're being used, what are they being used for? And what I think Tywin is thinking is the following. We have Sansa. She's useless because Rob could have heirs.
Right.
How do we make her useful? Prevent Rob from having heirs. How can I possibly do that? If I can get him in bed with somebody that is in my pocket, and I have whoever that person is in my pocket drinking tansy tea, Rob will never have heirs.
Okay.
So I think that can be the only thing to me that's happening, right? Is he's basically saying, marry Rob off, make sure your daughter does not get pregnant. And he's probably saying this, I think he's saying this to Sybell based on things I know later on. Yeah. Jamie, I think, talks to Sybell and it comes up with it.
Yeah. I mean, there's one other thing that I could say.
Because what else are they working together on?
It's kind of like the it's funny because me and you are watching Spider-Man this weekend, right? It's kind of like he can't. If you treat Jane Westerling as Mary Jane, like she's now in danger to Rob, right? So like they could kind of, I don't know, kill her type of thing. Like,
so I mean, okay. But how does that have to do with them being like working together? Like, you know what I mean? Like that doesn't really have to do with them working together. Rob just has an extra weakness now. I guess you could take it. Like if you want to go down route, you could be like,
that's, hey. I guess that's what I was saying. Like Rob has a weakness like to this girl. Cause they talked about his honor. Like he's going to honor her. Like, so if they could steal her away and then like hold her captive, like maybe he'll like,
that's a good idea. Like if you want to, again, and maybe that's what they were planning, but then, so now think about it this way. Think you're Tywin and you're like, okay, they have Jamie. How do I get Jamie back? I need to have control of someone who's really important to Rob. How do I get that? Just plant one, right? Make one. So have one of my people go in, become really important to Rob, and then basically be like, hey, Rob, I'm going to go on a vacation really quick. I'll be back in a few weeks. Yeah. And then just have them come to King's Landing and then pretend they got captured and be like, okay, we'll trade you your wife for Jamie. Yeah. Then bang, we just got a free Jamie. You know what I mean?
Got a free Jamie. And then, that's a super detailed plan.
Again, I don't think so, but
a lot of moving parts. I would tend to agree with your point over
Marian, that one. Stay celibate or stay barren,
infertile.
Yeah, exactly. That's where my head's currently at with them. And I think we'll get more info when Jamie does talk to Sybell later on.
I don't even know if they really care. I mean, I guess they do, but. Like, if they're going to just inform on Rob, too, like, they obviously get to set up the Red Wedding where, if as long as they get info on Rob.
So, the squire is presumed dead at the Red Wedding. I think he gets, like, shot by an arrow and jumps into the river or something like that.
Like,
like the Westerlings like lose people at the Red Wedding, which means they don't know about it, or they wouldn't send their people there.
Right. And to your point earlier, does Tywin really give a fuck if every Westerling died?
Who cares?
No. The whole point is killing Rob. So if they're gonna give info on Rob, which helped make the plan of the Red Wedding, that might have been enough.
That's a good point. You just like getting the Westerling close to Rob could just be now we have an inside man and no more than that. It could just be like, okay, now we have somebody who's given us information.
And I don't even know if it's the whole Westerling clan. Like I might be on the belief that like Jane is in love with Rob and Dad is like, we're blowing it. I need to reach out to Tywin.
So let's pull the Rob thread a little bit. Roose Bolton sent men to Duskendale from Harrenhal, from Harrenhal or Sherry, from Castle Derry, right? Like around the end of the crossroads. Right. He sent men to Duskendale. Why? There's no reason to go here. Roose sent this. I read my notes from the Arya chapter. Roose sends men down here. And then what Tywin does is he sends his men from King's Landing to Duskendale, and he sends the mountain back to Harrenhal. And then what happens is most of the Northmen get fucked here, and the rest who don't are going to run right back into and get fucked up by the mountain. Eventually, Roose is going to leave to go up to the Twins.
Yep.
And when he leaves Harrenhal, basically he's going to go just fast enough that the mountain can fuck up most of the people he's riding with. Like his rear guard. He's fucked up by the mountain.
Why would is Roose doing that just so he can kill the North loyalists? And like,
there's a part here where Tywin says, why would we join Balon Greyjoy? Why would we give Balon Greyjoy?
No, for sure. This is another point I had, is like, there's someone better. That person is Roose Bolton.
They're working together. Roose Bolton sent these people here and told Tywin, hey, I'm serving you up a bunch of Northmen on a platter. Go kill them all.
Yeah. So my question here is, I'm completely with you. That person is Roose Bolton. He's the better guy.
Yep.
Is he sending these people to slaughter and letting them out and pick off the other people because he knows that they'll never back him because he's not the Stark? Like,
yeah, for sure.
At some point, he's going to take over the North and he needs people, right? So, well, like,
but when he knows that when he's over the North, it's going to come out that he did so by, like, he was the betrayer. Like, he knows it's going to come out. So I think you're right. The less, like, in all these people that are following him right now are men who are very loyal to Rob. They've been fighting for a year for Rob. They're still fighting for Rob. Right. So he's like, we need to kill all these people, because when I betray Rob, these men are not going to be happy with me.
And really, we only really hear of Karstark joining him.
Yeah. His long-term plan, I don't know really how that goes, but you're right. Karstark probably is one of them, because they're like,
fuck Rob right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause he kills Lord Karstark. Well, the very next line of the next chapter is, they carry the corpses in upon their shoulders and laid them beneath the dais. So this is when Karstark kills the two
twin boys.
Yeah. The cousins. And basically, this is the next the last two cat chapters, I think, are the downfall of Rob. Rob marries Jane Westling. Mm-hmm. Rob kills Karstark. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and again, he's being Ned in both of them, which is the thing. Like, he's marrying the person that he dishonored.
He's being honorable,
and he's swinging the sword.
He's passing the sentence. Yeah.
Exactly. So being Ned is what ends up killing Rob completely in the long run, which sucks because we all love Ned. Ned's the right guy. It almost feels like the whole lesson of the Game of Thrones books is the good guy, do the right thing, you'll get fucked over.
Does Rob kill him in the show?
Yeah.
Why don't I remember that scene?
It's raining and he's like, kill me and be cursed.
Does it take him two swings too?
No, I don't think Theon takes like three or four to kill
him. Theon takes a couple.
Yeah, it's very similar to the Theon scene. It's raining in both of them.
Yeah, I don't.
Right before he kills him, he's like, they're in River Run, and Karstark's like, there's one point where he's like, yes, the king means to give me a scolding before he sets me free.
Yeah, I do recall that.
Yeah.
I don't remember him actually chopping his head. I'm going to have to watch it silently.
It's a good one. He like clenches his, he's like clenching his fist and his gloves are, yeah, it's a good one. So Jane Westerling's great grandmother is like some weird magi
from the East. That's definitely interesting. I didn't, is this the woman in the woods?
This is Maggie the Frog, the woman who gives Cersei all her Cersei prophecies.
get the fuck out of here. I mean, that makes sense. It's her.
So let's wrap this back around, because there's one of the other like weird things that I saw in this chapter was one of those prophecies.
Maggie the Frog. You'll have three crowns, three shrouds, gold.
Bunch of stuff. We're not going to linger too much on it now. Not that one, though. I want to touch on one of them. So not that one. There's a few things she talks about.
You will marry the king.
Not that one.
I don't remember. That's all I got.
How does she die? People call this the Valonqar prophecy.
The brother kills her.
When we first hear the prophecy, she says the Valonqar will strangle you or something like that. And we don't know what Valonqar means. And then like a book and a half later, we find out that Valonqar means little brother. And people then think, oh, does that mean Tyrion? Because he's the younger brother. Or could it be Jaime? But people also think it could be like, oh, does it mean like the Hound? Or literally any second?
Any little brother?
Exactly. So it's one of those things where prophecies, what's he say? George has a bunch of stuff. The one is like a prophecy is a whore that'll bite your dick off or something like that.
Oh, gosh.
Or like a hilt without a sword. There's no safe way to grasp it. But there's a whore without your dick off that'll bite your dick off or something like that. I think it's a better one. But in this chapter, there's a quote that I actually caught before they talked about the Jane Westerling thing. My lords, grant me the men, and I will sort out Lysa Arryn. He could think of nothing he would enjoy more, except perhaps strangling Cersei.
Dun 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 dun.
So when Tyrion's basically saying, like, let me go take care of Lysa. There's nothing I would enjoy more, except strangling Cersei. Tyrion, Valonqar, strangling Cersei. Then we hear of Maggie the Frog for the first time ever.
It's too bad she's going to fall in the burning of King's Landing, and the castle's just going to fall on her while she holds Jaime's hand.
No, it's not like the show. Sometimes I know this can't be how it is, but sometimes when you get chapters like this, I feel like George, like, took a vacation, right? Like, he was writing Storm of Swords.
Like, it's too obvious right now?
No. In between, like, Sam... He just went off and he took a vacation, or he like had to go on like a publishing and do a bunch of interviews. And while he was gone, he wasn't writing, but he had like a notepad where he was just writing down ideas. And he's like, ooh, Maggie the Frog. Like, ooh, Littlefinger steals Sansa for the wedding. Like, again, some of this was already planned, but like there's just so much stuff in this chapter that like for the like the first time we ever hear of Quentin. Like, he's like, oh, Doran's going to have a whole secret plan with Quentin. Like, and then he comes back from vacation, and then the next chapter is just loaded with like a bunch of first time mentions of shit. And
is Quinn
this
the one
is
that
one
gets burned? Yeah. Quinn gets burned, right?
Yeah. We got literally like eight chapters of him crossing all of Essos, and then he just burned. It's like, what was the point of this guy?
Yeah. So I didn't know if it was, I couldn't remember if Fagon was the one getting burned or if it was Quinn. Quinn.
So. Another thing I just wanted to bring up, Dornish are coming. Again, like, we don't...
The Red Vipers, the goat.
We've only heard Oberyn's name once. This is the second time ever in the books we've heard Oberyn's name. So again, it's one of those things where like George is like, I feel like, again, he was on vacation. He's like, oh, what if this guy comes? He's like, he shows up instead of Doran.
Should we fight him in the King's Landing?
Like, it's all in the same chapter. All this stuff's come, like, introduced for the first time. And the last thing was that I wanted to bring up, Mace Tyrell, and I talked about a little bit in the non-spoiler, is basically like, oh, I want the Florence land. Fuck the Florence. The Florence are dickheads. They're my people, and they just did not go with me. The next Davos, so last Davos we saw, Davos, it ended with, it's you're getting thrown in a cell. Do you remember where the next Davos picks up at?
Is he reading to the daughter?
No, he's in the cell, and the Hand of the King gets thrown in the cell. Alistair Florent.
Mm. No, I don't recall.
And... Davos like, what'd you do? And he's like, it's horrible. Like, I ran the numbers. We have nobody. We're fucked. So, and I also heard they gave away all my land. So I sent a letter basically saying like, hey, we give up. Just let Stannis be Lord of Storm's End and Dragonstone, and let me be Lord of my place again. And we'll do whatever you say. And Stannis found out that he sent that letter, and he's like in the dungeons.
Yeah, lock him up. I'm surprised they didn't just kill him.
It seems like a nothing burger in this chapter. And again, I'm sure I read it over it the first time that like, oh, we're taking away the Florent lands. And like, they kind of focus on it a little bit more.
I mean,
than
I don't remember. I don't remember that because Stannis doesn't act like, other than throwing him in jail. He's like, fuck that. Like, I'm still king.
Yeah, that's the only thing Stannis cares about. Is like, I don't care about anything that's going on in my army or anything. I'm still king though. If you try to say I'm not king, you're in jail.
You're fucked. Not really, because I don't have any power.
Yeah. I'll burn you. That was the last thing I had, though. I really like this chapter, a lot of them. There's a chapter like this in Feast of Crows that I think it's a Cersei chapter, and it's just all one council meeting, but it's so much better. I think that one's a little bit better because you don't have Tyrion giving you all the answers. You have dumbass Cersei seeing one step deep, and then you and you like that's the spoiler section on that one's going to be ridiculous because on that one you're the one that have to get to go all the steps.
You deep. Have to put two and two together.
Yeah, Cersei's not putting any pieces of the puzzle together. So,
yeah, no, I do think it was a good chapter. I think we are out of recap stage now. I hope.
But yeah, now we're just talking way too long on an episode that's already been too long. So
wrap it up.
We'll see you guys on the next one. If you listen this long, definitely give us a like. Definitely give us a comment.
If you made it this far.
We'll see you guys on the next one. Catelyn 3.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.